Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review.
Hey guys, just a quick reminder, you are listening to the Elite Man Podcast. Throughout this episode, the word Giving Shy Guys Game Podcast may be referenced or referred to several times. These were just some of our earlier episodes, and I just wanted to remind you, you are still listening to the Elite Man Podcast. Okay guys, enjoy the show. On today's episode, episode number 8, entitled The Science of Dating, we chat with Dr. Christy Hartman.
Christy, can you tell our listeners a little about your background, what a behavioral scientist does, and how you got into the whole dating advice scene?
Sure. Yeah. I have a strong background in the behavioral sciences. I have a master's in clinical psychology, and then my doctorate is actually in psychology also. It's in behavioral genetics, actually. So we studied, I spent a lot of years studying behavior, and how I got into, I've always been interested in dating and relationship stuff all my life. And then through some personal experiences, dating someone who was still getting divorced, I actually did a lot of research on that, kind of created my first book, which is Dating the Divorced Man. And then I found that it was successful and people liked it and I liked doing it. And so I wrote a bunch of other ones. And then I wrote some for men and for women. And I've been kind of doing it ever since.
Christy, how do you come up with like a lot of your ideas or like theories, or kind of where do you base all your advice from? Do you do like a lot of research on it, read academic papers or something like that?
I actually get my information from a lot of sources. Some of them are academic in nature. I think that it's nice to have some kind of research basis for giving advice, because as you probably know, there's a lot of kind of bad advice out there.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have that understanding of human behavior, and it's nice to have something, some kind of basis for your opinions. But the truth is that academic papers and stuff are pretty limited in terms of studying dating. And although there's a lot more online dating now, but even those are kind of limited. So you have to kind of take from other sources. So where I go from a little bit from personal experience, but my experience is different than other people. So I try not to overdo that. But things like interviews, talking to a lot of people, experiences from my coaching practice and working kind of in depth, confidentially with my clients, working with other people in the industry, matchmakers, coaches, experts, other people. And so I try to get my, And also people just commenting on my blog, I learn a lot from them too. So I try to get my information from everywhere to be as complete as possible.
You give advice on a broad range of topics. Like you just mentioned, I know online dating, you give a lot of good advice about all kinds of different stuff. Can you talk briefly about some tips for guys on online dating?
Sure. Yeah. I think that, you know, online dating is a challenge for everybody, but I think that the challenges for men are different than for women. I think some of the biggest frustrations men have is like not getting enough replies back and things like that. And so I think some of the advice I give men is to really sharpen up their profiles. You know, I think that's good for everybody, but for men, it's go into, you know, make sure the grammar is clean, go into more detail in your profile about what you like specifically. It's not enough to say I love sports or travel. I mean, be specific about things you've done. You want to portray yourself as somebody interesting who's out there living large and doing cool things that women want to be a part of. And, you know, make sure you have a good photo. Men tend to be especially sloppy about photos, more so than women. And so I tell them, you know, have a friend or a family member take decent photos of you and wear color. Men tend to wear very drab colors online. I tell them, you know, wear something more colorful and bright, like a brighter blue or purple or something, red even. And, never wear sunglasses. Not in your primary photo anyway. In your other ones, it's fine. But, you know, women want to see your eyes. If you're wearing sunglasses, it's like you're hiding. And women don't like that. And I tell men to avoid saying anything negative, you know, what you don't like about online dating or what kind of women you don't want. It just kind of makes you look jerky. And so, and the biggest thing is to accept that there's a certain amount of failure and rejection that's going to come with online dating, especially when you're sending out emails. to women. So I tell men to accept that from the get-go, but then also, you know, spruce up the profile and pick women that are more likely to respond, which is kind of an art in itself. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. Just quickly, how do you kind of pick women that you feel are more likely to respond, like you say?
Yeah, you know, the fact is in, you know, there are certain types of people that are more sought after in life, you know, the good looking people and blah, blah, blah. But online there, that's especially true. Online tends to exaggerate all of human behavior's craziness. And so a lot of times men tend to see a picture of a woman and think, wow, she's pretty. I'll email her. And there's nothing wrong with that, except that if the woman is really, really pretty or has a great photo, she's going to get a lot of emails from a lot of dudes. And so sometimes just picking her because she's pretty isn't enough. Sometimes you want to look for women who are not as sought after, women who are closer to you in your age. You know, going for younger, much younger women is more challenging. So pick close to your age. Pick someone who's similarly accomplished as you. You know, pick a woman who isn't necessarily showing her beautiful body in her pictures. Maybe she's a little bit more covered up, which makes her look more ordinary in the picture, but is she still attractive? You know, try to pick the girls who are not necessarily don't have the gorgeous photos, but you can tell that she's like, no, she's cute, or she seems kind of interesting, or maybe she's a little shy, because those girls aren't going to get as many emails and you're not going to be competing with as many guys. That's a few ideas.
Yeah, that's some good tips. I definitely like the picture, the profile pictures, and how important that is too. Like, I feel like a lot of guys do a lot of selfies and stuff like that, and it's really not effective for showing the kind of image that you want to present. I feel like one of the biggest problems I would say that a lot of guys have, especially when they ask me about online dating, is like the messaging part of it. Do you have any tips for like a good first message? Because I feel like a lot of the time, like you said, they kind of send like a lot of generic messages, and women get bombarded all day with like, hey, you're beautiful, or hey, I think you're cute messages, and they're really just not effective at all. But what's a great message that's really going to draw the woman in?
Yeah, there's an art in that for sure. And it comes from trial and error, but you definitely want to avoid any kind of compliment on her looks at all, because all that says is, I like your picture, you're pretty. And women do get a lot of that if they're pretty, or even if they don't get a lot of it, it could be because they're more ordinary looking. You know, they don't like that because it just smacks of shallowness. And so avoid that at all costs. And instead, what you want to do is, I'm a fan of not being clever. You know, I'm not a clever person. I usually tend to go for more straightforward methods, and that's what I teach. So what I teach men is be polite, you know, address her by her handle, you know, hi, ski babe or whatever. and then pick something from that you found interesting in her profile, because that shows you read it, and it shows that you're interested in some aspect of her. You know, I see that you went skiing in Breckenridge last winter. You know, how was it? I've never been there. Or I was there last year, it was awesome. Or, you know, try to create conversation, you know, by taking something in her profile, if there is anything to work with, and bring that up. And what it helps to do is ask an intriguing question or something that she has to respond to. And sometimes that can start a conversation. And then just say, you know, I'd love to hear from you. And that's it. Keep it simple and short.
Yeah, short and sweet is always best. Christy, you have a psych background. Can you give us any psychology tips that you can offer our shy guys? Like, what's the right attitude to have when you're dating?
Oh, yeah. For shy guys, I think, you know, I'm a big fan of attitude and mindset. To me, whenever I write in my books or I blog or whatever, the first thing I tell people is, look, you can fix yourself and make yourself look great all you want, have a great job, but if you have a crappy attitude, you're going to fail. And so for shy guys, what I tell them a couple of things. One is that learn to kind of embrace your shyness. You know, it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing to be embarrassed of. I think that shy people feel more embarrassed about their shyness than other people. They care about it way more than anybody else does. And so what I tell them is, you know, you have to kind of embrace that side of yourself. And then also you have to understand that other people might misread you. You know, sometimes shy people can come off looking arrogant or stuck up, or, you know, the exact opposite of what they actually are. And so what I tell is, you know, keep in mind how you appear to people. And sometimes you're going to have to be the one to make them feel comfortable rather than you trying to feel comfortable around them. And so, yeah, I think those are a couple of things, but I think you have to, the other thing I tell them is you have to kind of accept the shyness. And it's my phrase is, whether you want it or not, it's yours. That's your challenge with dating, is being shy is a challenging thing when you're dating. It can really get in the way of dating progress sometimes. And so you have to kind of accept this is how it is, but I can make it work.
All right, cool. Can you give any advice for needy or codependent guys? Because a lot of the times, a lot of these guys are some of the biggest problems in the dating field. Do you have any advice to fix their attitude? Is it similar to shy guys or maybe a little different? And what would you recommend for these guys?
What a great question. No one has ever asked me that before. That's awesome. I would say that's a different issue, because being shy is really an anxiety issue. It's about being uncomfortable in social situations, or feeling, you know, afraid of what people are going to think of you if you come up and talk to them, or if you speak in a group. You know, you're afraid of a certain level of like social chastisement, you know, and that's different. And that anxiety is one of those things that can be worked on and controlled. Dependence or being needy is different, because that comes really from a different type of insecurity. And oftentimes, when, you know, needs weren't met at a much earlier age. And guys like that can really scare women away. I mean, I think that needy people scare all the opposite sex, okay? But I think it's worse for men, because if anyone's allowed to be needy, it's not men, right?
Yeah.
You know, women, it's like you can tolerate a certain amount of neediness. It's like, well, she's a girl. And I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying that's the way it is. But in guys, you know, women want a guy who's self-assured and who's got at least a certain level of confidence. And that's something that I think in some cases, if it's really gotten in the way of your relationships, I would really say, you know, go see a therapist about it. I know that's something that not all men are open to, but the ones that do really progress and go a long way into kind of getting past that, because they realize a lot of their neediness is not real. It's imagined. It's something that they're afraid of if they let it go, that something bad's going to happen. Once they realize that they let it go, then good things happen. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. I think it's actually really helpful advice. Because like you said, a lot of guys kind of are reluctant to go seek a therapist if they need one. And it seems like there's almost a stereotype that it's more for like women to see therapists or talk to, you know, shrinks or stuff like that. But it shouldn't be that way, obviously, because guys need just as much help a lot of the times emotionally, or just talking about different things in their past. And it really does help to have someone to talk to and bounce ideas off of.
Yeah, and especially because therapists actually understand things like neediness and codependency better than dating coaches do.
Yeah.
And that's something that has a more psychological origin that usually originates in childhood and with family issues. And therapists are perfect for that kind of stuff. And I know men who've gone to therapy. They admit it to me, and God, they're way better off for having done that. They just progress so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Christy, do you have any tips to getting over a breakup for guys? This is also another really big challenge for guys in dating, because obviously guys who date around have to face like a lot of different breakups and a lot of heartbreak. Do you have any advice for getting over this?
Sure. Yeah. First of all, I mean, breakups suck. You know, they're not fun. They don't feel good, and they don't feel good if you got rejected, but they don't even feel good when you're the one who left the relationship, because then you feel guilty and you have doubts and, you know, and they just stink. And so what I tell people is just let yourself experience all those grieving feelings. People tend to think of grief as like crying and sadness, but it's so much more. When you grieve, you're going to feel sad. You're going to feel angry. You're going to have all these rotten thoughts about, you know, your ex, and, you know, don't act on them. Just feel them, and, you know, talk with your friends about it and let it go. And, you know, but you're going to feel afraid. You're like, shit, you know, what if I never meet somebody again? Or what if she was right for me and I screwed it up? And those are all normal feelings. Just let yourself process them. Don't try to stuff them away. And, you know, don't just jump into a new relationship and try to cover that up, because it's going to come back to bite you in the butt later. So I tell them, just, you know, grieve, and, you know, don't jump into anything else too soon. And then over time, you know, and accept that here's the big thing that I think women get this more than men, which is that relationships are learning experiences. Anytime one ends, it's like, yeah, it hurts. but it also taught you something valuable about yourself and about women that you're going to be able to use in future relationships. And in every bad experience you have is going to make you a little stronger and a little smarter and a little more savvy until you meet that right girl that you never have to break up with. You know, and if you remember that, that every one makes you a little stronger, it's like that makes it a lot easier to tolerate. And finally, the last thing I would say is that don't let yourself linger in bad feelings over a long period of time. You know, if you find yourself stuck in just being angry or you're stuck just being depressed, that's the time to probably maybe get a little help in getting over that hump and moving on.
Yeah, some really great advice. I particularly like what you said about kind of taking all those emotions in, and rather than try to like hide from them or push them away, really taking them all in and just kind of absorbing them and just kind of noticing like how they are, and not really not reacting to them, but just taking it all in and taking a step back and not trying to hide from them. I've had a lot of anxiety before in my past, and one of the best ways I found to actually get over this was to actually embrace the anxiety. So like when fear kind of starts to creep up, rather than like pushing it away or trying to get all these thoughts out of my head, a really good trick to actually getting over this was thinking more about it and not trying to run from it, and actually asking for like more. It's actually like there's a book on it called Panic Away, but he actually asked for like more of the fear and more of the sensations of like having a panic attack. And by doing this, you actually empower yourself, and you notice that the fear kind of subsides after about a couple of minutes, and it's really something powerful. And so I totally agree with what you said about that.
Yeah, that's great advice. I'm you know, and that's such good personal experience that you've made work for yourself. And there's a lot to be said for not running away from feelings, no matter how scary they are, because they're just feelings. And you know, yeah, you can just let them kind of wash over you, like someone dumped a big, you know, thing of water on your head, and just let it wash over you, and eventually it dries and you can move on. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like when you realize that you're going to be fine and that everything is going to be okay in the end, you just feel that much better about yourself, and you can get over things faster.
Yeah, it's true.
Christy, do you have any advice for divorced men going along with the whole breakup theme? And a lot of divorced men often struggle with getting back out on the dating scene. What advice do you have to give these guys?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I actually work with a lot of divorced men. And what I tell them is that to some extent, when you're divorced, you are kind of starting from scratch dating wise, you know, because unless you were only married very briefly, usually, you know, most people marry at a certain age, maybe in their 20s. And whether you get divorced at 35 or 45 or 55, you've spent most of your adult life married, you know, and you're so not, you know, and marriage skills are so different than dating skills. And so what I tell men is that you're going to feel very disoriented. You're going to feel very clueless, and you're going to feel completely unprepared, because you are. And that's totally okay. You got to start somewhere. And so what I tell them to do is, you know, besides, you know, I tend to offer my books up, but beyond that, you know, I tell them to give themselves a break and to kind of come to terms with what happened in the marriage as much as possible. Unfortunately, I mean, because if breakups are painful, divorce is like really painful. I mean, it's like a punch in the face, whether you wanted the divorce or not. And it really, men more than women, I think, feel this utter sense of failure, you know, and like they failed. Even if they did the best they could, they just feel like they failed. And so what I tell them to do is take some time to heal, you know, let yourself kind of come to terms with what happened, and don't start dating too soon. It's really easy to rebound after a divorce and to jump into something new. And I see men do that a lot, and they jump right into something, they get real hot and heavy, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh shit, I'm so not ready for this. And, you know, and then the woman is devastated, and then they feel terrible. And so what I say is just take your time, just date, do something. You know, you don't have to have a relationship. You don't have to be committed, just date and have some fun, and get to know yourself better, get to know women, you know, just go out on some dates and don't get into anything serious. And see what happens. You'll know when you're ready for something again. It usually takes, you know, a year or two to find that right thing again, or a lot longer sometimes. And those are a few ideas I had. But yeah, dating after divorce can be a challenge, but it's a great time too, because it's a chance to start over and make it work the second time around.
All right, guys, I think it's the perfect time to take a quick break from the episode to remind you to subscribe to our show. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting episodes. Subscribe now and get all of the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. Okay, guys, back to the episode now.
Christy, what are your thoughts on marriage in general? The divorce rate seems to be so high in this country. Do you think it might be because people aren't ready for marriage, or they kind of just jump into it too soon and they don't have realistic expectations for what marriage is about?
Yeah, I mean, I think that last thing you said is really it. They don't have that realistic expectations. And why would they? You know, nobody teaches us that, you know, and, you know, we learn from watching our parents, which is not realistic because we only see part of what's really going on between our parents. And we see stuff in movies and, you know, even all people, but even men, too, have kind of romantic ideas about marriage. You love somebody, you get married. You know, and then when it falls apart, you realize, oh, you know, there's actually more to choosing a life partner and realizing that when you choose a spouse, you're not choosing somebody you're in love with. You're choosing somebody that's going to be your partner for life, you know, and choosing somebody that you can do that with without wanting to kill each other. And so, yeah, it is a shame that the divorce rate is what it is, although it's not quite as high as people think it is. It's under 50. But even that is, it's kind of a shame, but I look at it like I try to have a positive view towards divorce, which is that, you know, everybody should be allowed a chance to screw it up once, you know, and, you know, and if, yeah, or sometimes more if you're a, kind of one of those hopeless romantics that gets married 8 times, but, you know, and there are a few of them out there, the Liz Taylors of the world, but, you know, overall, I think that, yeah, people do have kind of unrealistic ideas of what marriage is. And sometimes it takes actually getting married and then going through the pain of having it not work and getting a divorce to make you realize, okay, I'm going to be a lot more careful next time.
What are your thoughts on infidelity? Because just like the divorce rate, infidelity seems to be so prevalent and so rampant in this country as well.
Yeah, these are such good questions.
Thanks.
I love infidelity. Yeah, you know, I think a lot about this topic because it is something that I've seen a lot of my friends and family members go through, both men and women. People always think it's men that are unfaithful, but it's not. It's definitely a kind of a sickness that can afflict any gender. And it's something that happens. And I think that it does kind of go back to the unrealistic ideas about what marriage is. Okay. You know, if you expect it to be X and it turns out to be Y, you know, sometimes you can be unfaithful hoping to achieve that X that you were hoping for. But I see infidelity in two ways. It kind of happens for two reasons. One is a person's needs aren't being met in the marriage. And so they seek it outside the marriage. They try to get those needs met. And of course it doesn't work. And then the other reason is that, that person is just not capable of being monogamous at that time in their life. Some people have a hard time kind of admitting, you know, in our monogamous society with nuclear families, some people have a hard time admitting to themselves, I'm not a monogamous kind of person. I don't want to be tied down to one person. I want to have my options. And it's like, but how do you do that and also have a family and children, which people want too? I mean, we don't live in a society that kind of teaches you how to do that, you know, and I think a few people have figured out how to do that, but I think most of us have no clue. And so that's why people kind of fall into the hands of infidelity because they're looking to kind of fix something that really can't be fixed that easily.
Yeah. Do you think men tend to be or tend to want to sleep with multiple women at the same time? Like you said, do you think that's kind of like just how they're wired? Like, are they wired differently to want to do that? Or is it both genders, both male and female?
I think that that is something that varies from person to person, even within gender. So I think there are men who are like that and men who are not like that. I've met men who are very monogamous. They have no interest in sleeping with lots of women. Well, some men don't believe me. And I'm like, I'm telling you, trust me. These guys just don't, they don't care about that. But I've also met women who I think really struggle with monogamy too. But I would believe that there are probably slightly fewer women like that than there are men like that.
Yeah. Do you think it's healthy for a lot of the guys to sleep with multiple women at the same time? Or do you think that might cause some internal conflict or some problems for that guy?
I think that it often does cause internal conflict, but I think that a lot of that is because there's a part of that guy who doesn't believe that it's okay. You know, I think that there are certainly challenges and dangers to sleeping with multiple people, but I think it can be done if it's done in an honest way and in an upfront way and in a healthy and in a responsible way. But I think that the vast majority of people have no idea how to do it in a responsible and healthy way. You know, no, and again, who's going to teach you how to do that unless it's somebody who's done it already? And so I think that for most guys, I think, you know, it's a dangerous thing if they're not taught the rules on how to handle a situation like that.
Yeah, you're right. It's like, where are you going to learn all this information from, right? They don't teach you it in school.
No.
I know for me, it was never good with women at all, or never knew anything about dating advice or anything like that until after high school. And it's great to have, obviously, people like you and other great dating coaches who can actually give advice like this now, because I feel like a lot of the guys really need it. And even a lot of women also need like that dating help and even the relationship coaching too, because we're never taught this like when we're growing up, when we're little.
No, you have to learn it the hard way. And yeah, now there's so much information out there, a lot of which is even free. And so it's nice to be able to get help with that, because it's important. Dating and meeting people and getting involved and getting married, I mean, what's more important than that in life? Nothing, in my opinion.
Me too. Christy, how important are looks for men and for women? Do you have, I mean, you don't have to have them, but have you seen any research, or have you done any personal research on this, or found any studies that kind of suggest like how important looks are?
Yeah, you know, boy, that's a topic that could take an hour just by itself.
Yeah.
There's actually quite a bit of research on that, but I no especially interesting studies come to mind. I think that the answer is yes, looks matter. They matter for both sexes. They really matter for women. You know, attractive women get way more attention and have way more options and tend to marry better. Research does show that. And they tend to just have more options. And so, and interestingly, looks matter for men too, but not as much, because men can make up for a lack of gorgeous looks with other attributes, like success, for instance. And but the fact is that beautiful people are going to get way more attention online. They're going to have more options for dating. But there's another side to that, which is that they're also going to be put up on a pedestal, and people are going to assume, well, you know, the world is their oyster, life so easy for them, dating's easy for them. That it's not. You know, they have the same problems as the rest of us, the very attractive ones. And they have, you know, people have preconceived notions about them, and they have to put up a certain amount of prejudice. And I would think really good looking men are assumed to be assholes, which is not fair. And really good looking women are assumed, are often assumed that they can have any guy they want, and they're spoiled, and they're used to men, you know, kissing their asses. And that's not true either. And then the other side of it is that for those of us who aren't beautiful, you know, the fact is, you know, you can attract a mate no matter what you look like, but the more attractive you are, the easier it is. But what you really need to be is just what I call attractive. You don't have to be gorgeous. You don't have to be extremely good looking or have a great body. But if you're just attractive, which is something anybody can be with some effort.
I do feel looks matter too, especially for guys anyways, like matters more for them when they're looking for to date women. But I always say that the number one thing to work on anyways is personality. Personality trumps all. This includes like how charismatic you are, how outgoing, how funny you can be. And this is definitely for introverts too, because even if they're naturally shy or quiet, they can always learn how to be more charismatic and how to be more funny in situations. And it's about that whole idea of building up their game and knowing what to say and what to do in different situations.
Absolutely. Guys who develop those skills go far with women. They really have a lot of options. And I think that, you know, as long as they're, again, they're reasonably attractive and put at least some effort into their looks, I think you know, that's all that's required. The rest is really about, like you said, your personality and your social skills. I'm a big advocate of developing social skills. And that's something, those are skills that are learned over time and with experience, how to read women, how to understand women, how to know when you're not wanted, et cetera. If you can do that, I think that will get you further than having a great face.
Christy, going back to your psychology background, can you offer guys any body language tips or insights that you might have?
Yeah. So you're talking about men's body language?
Yeah. Yeah. How men can improve their body language, especially in like social situations.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the biggest things that gives away a lack of confidence is poor posture. You have to have good posture. And I found that sometimes shy guys, or, you know, if they're shy, they tend to kind of scrunch down a little bit because standing up kind of makes them more visible. And so you have to hold your head up. You have to, you know, have your back straight, and that actually will make you look so much more confident just by itself. So there's that. And then there are things like, kind of as a male, it's important to show confidence and social dominance. And I don't mean dominance in the, you know, dominate people kind of dominance, but showing, hey, I'm a guy and I'm proud of it. You want to show that. And certain ways to do that are like to stand with your legs apart, standing with like your hands on your hips, sitting in like a, what's called a figure four, you know, where you put one leg kind of crossed over the other, like, and it makes a square. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the way most guys sit. In other words, yeah. You know, sitting with your legs spread, it kind of, you want to take up space, you know? And as far as facial expressions go, with men can be, serious. They don't have to smile like women do if they want to attract people, but, smiling helps as long as they're not too smiley. Too smiley makes them look kind of less dominant, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you want to show friendliness, but without being kind of like goofy, silly.
Going back to your dominance ideas, do you kind of feel like that plays along with like the whole alpha male thing? And I should ask, do you even believe in the whole alpha male concept of the guy, you know, being the alpha male, the leader of the tribe and everything? And this is the kind of man that women are attracted to most?
Yeah, you know, I have pretty strong opinions about that topic, but it's a big topic that I could go on and on about. So I'll try to be succinct. The truth is, there's no such thing as an alpha male in humans. You know, I know people will fight me on that, but that's my feeling. You know, a true alpha male is there's a strict hierarchy in which, you know, that one is the biggest and the toughest and, you know, and literally dominates the other members. In humans, it just doesn't work that way. But there are men who do have more, quote unquote, alpha qualities, who are natural leaders, who do tend to attract more women, who do tend to be the center of attention at a party, who seem to be endlessly confident. We've all known guys like that. But you know what they really are? They're just really extroverted people because we live in a society that loves extroversion. I don't know if you've ever read Susan Cain's book about introverts, but we live in a very extroverted society, and we like really extroverted people, especially extroverted men, because they do kind of have that, you know, that sort of social dominance. You know, I can handle anything. I'm going to jump off out of planes and I'm going to have all the girls I want and fuck yeah, you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about. And so, you know, and I think I'm not going to lie that those type of guys do attract women. But there are plenty of guys that aren't that way, you know, the majority of guys, and they attract women too. So I don't know if that answers your question.
That's a great answer. I know it does. Christy, do you have any confidence tips for shy guys? A lot of shy guys tend to lack a lot of confidence, obviously. What are your best tips for them?
Well, the first thing is to understand what confidence is. And what I tell people is that confidence isn't something you have or don't have. It's something you build. Okay. Confidence is something you build through experience. And so one of the best ways to do that is to do things outside your comfort zone. And this is something, this is advice I give to introvert and also to shy people, which is, you need to do something every day or nearly every day that's outside your comfort zone. It doesn't have to be way outside the zone. It can be something very minor, like making eye contact with an older woman, you know, not necessarily somebody you would date, but making eye contact with her, which can be very nerve-wracking for a shy guy.
Mm-hmm.
You work your way down to women and then you work your way to making eye contact with attractive women that you're interested in. But you have to do little things like that on a regular basis to the point where they're no longer outside your comfort zone. They're part of the comfort zone. That's how you build confidence. And I also tell men that to allow themselves to make mistakes, because making mistakes can erode confidence if you feel like you're doing it too much, but they can build confidence if you're doing them once in a while.
I agree with what you say about getting like those little validations back in return, like taking small steps and like being able to look a woman in her eyes like an older woman. It really is, like, I know firsthand like how nerve-wracking that can actually be. When I was first starting off, obviously I was like trying to get better with women and stuff, and one of the big things was eye contact and getting that down for myself. It really was challenging at first, but the more I did it, like you said, and the more comfortable I became doing it, the easier it became and the more confidence I got. Another thing that I did too when I was younger was to really push myself was like taking a dance class, acting class, improv class, and also like a speech class. And for anyone who's introverted, they know just how nerve-wracking all of these things can be. And the one thing I want to say about that is just how much confidence that I had after like each class. I just felt like a euphoria that I had been doing something that I knew I was pushing myself into doing and that I wasn't comfortable doing. But at the end of the day, I just felt like so much more confident about myself for getting over those hurdles.
Nice. And the nice thing about those classes is when you're in a classroom environment, people will usually support you. Like if you're shy or shyer than the average person in the class, people will be like, come on, you can do it. You know, they, like in a dance class, they're not going to make fun of you because you don't know how to dance. Most guys have no idea. Yeah. You know, they're going to, all the girls are going to be like, I want to dance with him and show him how to do it, you know. And, you know, speech class is the same way. I have a client who's extremely shy, and he says that speech class is just about the end point of his comfort zone. Like he outside his comfort zone, like it takes every bit of energy he has to go to that thing, but he goes.
Yeah.
And he's getting better at speaking in front of people.
Yeah, that's great. Chrissy, we only have a few more questions left, and then we're going to wrap things up. Can you give us your number one tip for shy guys?
Number one tip for shy guys, stretch yourself. Yeah, try to get out of your comfort zone every day, even if it's in a really small way. That's it, because that's something that, and it depends on whatever is outside your comfort zone. If you want to learn to talk to women, you need to learn to talk to people. If you don't want to start with women, that's cool. Learn to talk to, you know, salespeople or the lady who gives you your coffee at your coffee joint, or kids. Or, you know, just strangers on the street, you know, asking them what time it is. I mean, anything, whatever you can do to learn to speak to strangers will really go a long way in getting outside your comfort zone, building confidence, and kind of not letting the shyness hold you back.
Yeah, it's all about getting that practice in, right? So even if it's not a woman you're attracted to, or someone you want to try to work your game on and try to get her number from, even just talking to people in general, you stretch your vocal cords, like you said, you stretch that conversational skills that you have, you expand and you work on all those things, and it really does help you, and it helps, like going back to confidence, helps with that confidence, and it helps with your overall level of social skills, which is so important in the dating world.
Yeah, and then you move on to, you know, women that you're not necessarily attracted to, and then you just keep moving forward towards the target.
Yeah. please check out ChristyHartman.com and any one of Christy's 5 amazing books. Christy, thanks so much for coming on our show today. It was an absolute pleasure to have you on. I know our listeners are really going to enjoy your great insights and advice. Thanks so much, Christy.
Thanks a lot, Justin. Had a great time.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting shows. Subscribe now and get the Elite Man Podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. All right, guys, that's it. Until next time, take care.